I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Fantastic Adventures with Dean and Bertie. This is our last episode, isn't it?
Yeah, last of the season.
Last of the season. Ever.
Hopefully, gosh. Hopefully we'll get another season and then get cancelled after two.
Yeah, fingers crossed. you son of a bitch.
Look, before we move on, I just want to give a shout out to sound design extraordinaire Dan Pugsley. He's a lovely man, and he has been sound designing all the lovely little stings throughout the series, and we just want to give him a little shout out. Props to Dan.
Oh my, there's a foul stench in the air. Can you smell that, Bertie?
Oh yeah, I can.
That is pongy. Yeah. That sticks to your clothes. That you're going to have a shower.
No, it
that
does.
Is the undeniable stench of toxic fandom. So what the fuck is going on, Bertie? Why does everybody hate things now?
No. We love things. We love things so much. We cherish them so dearly that we want to destroy them and deprive the people, the children they're actually made for, of enjoying that thing.
Wait, these children are supposed to enjoy these as well?
No, I'm joking. It's 40-year-old men. 37-year-old men,
oh,
specifically.
Oh, I see. Right. Well, then that's a good thing that we have we have a 22-year-old woman on the show. We are joined by Lara, also known as Siren on the internet. She is a illustrator extraordinaire.
Yes.
Also a very funny person. Master shit poster.
Yes.
That's me.
Yeah. How are you?
Thank you. Good? Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
No worries. Are you feeling toxic?
Very. It's oozing out of me right now.
Yeah, there's like purple
sludge
everywhere.
I'll clean up after myself.
No, it's fine.
You won't. She always says that. Everywhere we go, restaurant, she says she'll clean up the goo. She never does.
It's sinking into my shoes. I may have got a hole in my soul.
Sorry.
Whoa.
Is it acidic?
Yeah, it's burning a little bit, actually.
I think it's the dye, my hair, affecting it.
That's how it works. For people who don't know what you do, just elaborate on that a little bit more. Who are you?
I'm an artist, and I'm professionally a character designer, so I create the stuff that people then ruin. I do that mostly, and I post on social media where I got a bit of a fan base. Also fandom, wow. Callbacks to the theme.
The most toxic fandom of all.
My fans. No, they love me, generally. That's what I make a living off now, weirdly enough.
Doing what you love.
Yeah, pretty much. It's fun.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I mean, I think we thought you were a good person to get on talking about toxic fandoms because you've, you go to a lot of cons. I think you're quite exposed to sort of fandom culture, nerd culture. Do you have any experiences in that world?
Yeah. I mean, I go to Comic Cons pretty much every month or so. I attend one.
Wow.
Yes, all over Europe. It's an intense experience, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice generally, but I also experience the downsides of it, especially if I draw characters wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
But yeah, that's the thing. How can you, if it's your interpretation? I mean, honestly,
have you seen most fan art?
Yeah.
It's usually bad.
Sure. Yeah. And that's okay. I'm not going to attack them for it.
Yeah. It's like, you don't go, you drew my favorite character incorrectly.
I'm six.
Oh. Well,
it's funny because most of the characters that I draw are women, and they, a lot of mean people accuse me of sexualizing women because they think I'm a man.
Just jump to that conclusion immediately.
This is where I started drawing myself and started, you know, really driving the point home that I was a woman because I couldn't get away with it.
It's crazy
you had to do that.
Yeah,
and the fact that they look at your talent and they clearly, on some level, go, only a man can have that talent. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Only a man could draw women looking, like, beautiful. you know, and they'll immediately look
sexy.
At it. And
yeah,
and
very, sexy. They are very, like, on her profile, it is just a lot of sexy, ethereal women.
Yeah, and that's much. Fine. And, of course, they'd assume it was a man. That's so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's and then they come.
They're not leery, just so we're clear. They're
no,
it's safe for work. You can look it up.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
don't worry.
SFW. On a tube or something.
You're in safe hands. Don't you worry about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So let's dive into like your own personal experiences with like fandoms and stuff like that, because you like got sort of your early start from doing fan art.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And that's where a lot of viral. Hits when it comes to what my drawings came from. I got a lot of shares on Tumblr and on Explore page of Instagram, that sort of thing. It wasn't really Twitter at the time. I think Instagram and Tumblr were really the toxic areas that I explored. But yeah, it's quite interesting because when it comes to Star Wars, the toxic fans are quite, you know, stereotypical 37-year-old neckbeardy fedora type of person.
little piss babies.
Yeah, pretty much. That's not the toxic fans that I run into. Not not the type of people that tend to harass me. Those are
so
36-year-old
women with goatees, little piss babies.
No, they tend to be women, but they tend to be a little bit younger, generally. Right. They also come back later when they grow up a little bit.
What do you mean?
Apologize. Yeah, I've gotten a few people that grew up and realized that they were not the nicest towards me.
Well, what happened?
Specifically, do you want me to go into one story?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Give us a tale.
Yes.
This is like early days for me. It wasn't really popular at this time, but I started to get a little bit more attention. I drew a character from an animation show, Steven Universe.
Good show.
Very good show. Haven't caught up with it, unfortunately.
It's on Netflix, lads.
Is it?
I need to watch on Netflix.
Really?
I haven't watched it yet.
It's really good, though. You'll love
it. Yeah.
That's my big recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Dean.
Yeah, it's a character, and she is kind of... Well, I don't think it's very much part of her personality that she's, like, bigger, but...
No.
Yeah, she is a little bit on the fat side, I would say. I drew her too skinny. I didn't do this intentionally.
Would you say, like, too skinny? Because I've seen the drawing.
People said it was too skinny, even though I pretty much directly referenced her concept art, like the way that she looks in the show. But yeah, I can see where people come from. I'm not, you know, denying the criticism or anything. I was just a bad artist at the time. Keep in mind, I'm self-taught. I was 17 at this point.
Yeah.
So I was doing my best, and people went in for the kill, pretty much.
So basically they did that classic thing of projecting what they think, like, so I guess, like, in their head, I haven't read the comments, but I'm assuming what they did, they went, this person drew that character skinnier because they don't like larger people. Mm-hmm. And, like, to naturally assume that of someone on the internet is, like, classic stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
To take terrible qualities and just slap them on a stranger and just high road them. Basically, you know, your high horse, but think like a high horse with the longest pair of legs of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just making assumptions about your intentions. It's not cool.
It was also just an insecurity thing where I was like, I really tried. I didn't want to draw her skinnier, but I saw where they were coming from, which made me go, oh, right, I didn't want to, you know, draw somebody skinnier because I also don't think that necessarily, you know, that's prettier or anything. But they went, do you think skinny people are prettier? And I was like...
So that's so crazy to throw that assumption on somebody.
Yeah.
But it didn't deter you or anything. You kept going.
No, around this time, the Steven Universe fandom got a lot of controversy about, you know, fan art. There was another artist that was in similar, like, waters as I was, I guess, toxic
sludge there.
Yeah, just having a little bath.
I do like this, like, visual metaphor we're creating for them. Like, it's like someone's just minding their own business with some fan art and they start hearing... and it's getting louder and louder and the door slowly creates and this purple ooze starts to come
just
out.
Just from under the door.
And it's just like all sorts of people just on top of each other coming in going, how dare you?
Yeah, gooey.
Yeah, around this time, this other girl was going through the same thing, pretty much. She got to the point where she was so personally affected, she had a suicide attempt over it. So that was really sad. She was in hospital at the time. People, you know, posted their support. This is how I found her. So in the end, like, I made a friend out of it, which is good.
That's good.
That's good.
But the Steven Universe creators went on Twitter to say, this is not what the show is about.
That's like, the thing.
Yeah.
What, the creators of shows have to go, hey, fans, could you not act like this?
Pretty
and it's crazy because it's always, none of these shows have values of, rally against somebody and make them feel like shit.
Things need to be done a specific way. Like, the whole point of a lot of these shows is expressing yourself and being yourself. And and the way so many fans of things like that go completely against the core of that thing they love.
I've never seen the protagonists in these shows do the things these people do.
Yeah.
I've never seen Steven Universe, a little boy. He disagrees with people all the time. He's a very open character. He's a really nice, charming boy. That's his whole deal. Mm-hmm. He never just stalks them and tells them they're terrible people. Luke Skywalker has never harassed a woman online.
No, he hasn't.
Do you know what he does? He's busy saving the day.
That's right.
Being a G.
Yeah.
Astral projecting himself from one fucking planet to the other because he's sick.
It's a misplaced understanding of you look at someone like Luke Skywalker, and instead of inspiring you to go and change the world or make people's lives better, you're inspired to just defend that thing to the point where you're making people's lives worse. But it's still but it's my Luke Skywalker and I do anything for him and I love him. It's sure, do you? Because he wouldn't love you.
No, he wouldn't like you at all.
No.
He'd be like, no, thank you.
Yeah. And so how have you sort of gotten over that? How's your life progressed since that kind of incident? Have you grown from it? Have you learned something from it? What's the biggest lessons it's taught you?
I mean, generally, I think every creator has to go through a personal journey of, realizing that input that you can get through social media or any place can be valuable. We have to take it with a grain of salt. I'm still going through it because I'm very personally affected by people criticizing me because I want to do the right thing. I feel like inclusivity is very important and it's something that I do want to bring forward. I had a character design job where I tried to push it out more and it was turned down, which was really sad. But as a designer, and as a, specifically a character designer, there is a function of my art that is different from just projecting what I like and what I think is good towards the rest of the world. I'm actually shaping something that people experience in a, kids, for example, when it's for toys or animation shows or something like that. Something they grow up with, and it's something that is subtly influencing the way they view the world. Like, people criticize Barbie for being too skinny or... And then they had to come out with new shapes of Barbies and different race of Barbies or, for example, just any sort of representation, really. And from that sort of thing, I'm going, okay, I'll take my steps. I'll see what I can do. But if people criticize me for it, they don't know me and they don't know my intentions. If they don't want to listen to my intentions and don't want to ask and just want to assume, it's their problem. They just want to be mad.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, to try and be part of the bigger conversation. Mm-hmm. Opens you up to a bigger world of, I don't know,
a bigger minefield of just potential.
Yeah, minefield. Yeah, mm-hmm. Is that how that feels, or am I getting that? Is that
another example? Would be Rebecca Sugar herself. She is the creator of Steven Universe, and she got criticized for writing LGBT characters wrong, and she kind of
went on a speech about how she was how do people not understand how hard it is what she's doing. No spoilers for Steven Universe, mm-hmm. obviously, but Steven Universe is basically taking, let's say, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, and Star Wars, but it's making the whole story, not all the stories about sexuality, but the core of it is. She's taking certain sexualities and identities, but giving them sort of space names, basically.
Yeah.
And
she's putting it on Cartoon Network for kids.
Oh my God. It's great. She's doing something that's not been done before.
Yeah, even if you don't, even if there are aspects, because people's issues that she's writing these characters wrong, and you can think that and you can but on some level you just have to recognize by virtue of her trying to make this bloody show about sexuality for kids, that is so meaningful and so important.
Yeah.
It's the nitty gritty details. I don't know. You need to get your priorities straight. She's one of the good guys, surely.
Well, I'm so bad at the sourcing, as you've learned from this podcast, there is an interview. In fact, Jacob Anderson, who plays Grey Worm on Game of Thrones, told me this.
Nice guy.
He watched an interview, so actually it's not my fault, it's his. So he told me that he'd watched an interview with Rebecca Sugar, and the inspiration for Steven Universe came from when she was watching Disney movies, when she saw that all the romances were between men and women, and she went, oh, so love isn't for me. that was her taking. She didn't take it personally. That was just how she interpreted it as a kid, and she carried it with her. And that's what Steven Universe is about.
Yeah.
It's one hell of a thing.
So she wanted to ensure that no kid would have to... She or at least start making creating a world where no kid has to feel like that.
Yeah, basically. But but apparently she ain't doing it right.
Yeah, oh my God. She's like... intentions are so important. Her intentions are clearly so good.
Yeah, like, and like, but there's still things we look back on now and we go, the intention is pure, but maybe some stuff isn't quite. It doesn't fit sitting now.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean the person is a piece of shit.
No.
It just means they were a product of a time. Like, it doesn't.
Even with me, a lot of people going back, just going back to my drawings, people go and they criticize the subjects of my artworks and they're like, oh, you don't draw enough physically disabled people or things like acne or things like that. And it's just so weird because I don't think that people realize that they can also pick up a pencil. And I'm already on, you know, trying to draw women that I find beautiful. And that's already like a thing that I'm trying to do, trying to balance, you know, real humanity with what makes
fit
women beautiful. Yeah, in that sort of way. Sorry, I kind of struggle to find a nice way of saying it. But yeah, it's just sad. Very sad. People are mean.
But you're not deterred. No. You still make your bloody drawings.
Yes.
Please don't take my work too seriously because I'm just drawing pretty women, honestly.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No, 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 no.
Okay, let's get stuck in. Toxic fandom, all right? The likes of Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Kelly Marie Tran, Rian Johnson, Chris McQuarrie, Ruby Rose. So many people who are just trying to make things and be in things, just trying to live their lives, are coming under fire for whatever reason due to this sort of toxic fandom thing where you love something so much that you kind of want to destroy it and deprive other people of enjoying it. Why is this happening, everybody? Is it Twitter specifically? Is Star Wars just like a... I don't know, why is it specifically Star Wars? Has it always been this way? It feels very amplified right now. Why?
Well, interestingly, Simon Pegg sort of outed himself as a potential toxic fan. Or maybe, you know, putting himself as maybe one of the catalysts for this entire movement of...
you want to call it that? Yeah.
Slime people.
Yes.
In his show Spaced, he made a lot of jokes about the Star Wars prequels, specifically Jar Jar Binks and stuff like that. And he was saying he had to sort of look back on himself and go... Did I contribute to this? Did I start this conversation? Was I part of it? Was he one of the original sort of vocal toxic fans? It's quite interesting, like, to be sort of looking at yourself and going, I have a platform. The things I say have traction. But also, they start off as jokes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sure, when he watched it, he was upset. We've all had that. Like, I saw Prometheus. It upset me. I got burned big by Prometheus.
But you were never, you never felt encouraged or compelled to direct any sort of actual like hatred towards anyone involved in it.
No, I mean, do you want to get in a fight with Ridley Scott? No,
I don't.
Yeah.
He'll put his cigar out on on my chin.
It was like, he'll burn two cigars, poke them both in your eyes and pour whiskey on your face.
Absolutely. It's my Friday night.
He'll go, shut the fuck up, and making philosophical movies about android aliens.
Absolutely. But that's an interesting thing. Like, this time of like communication and social media, it's now easier than ever to, if you didn't like something, to just immediately contact that person, address them directly and say, you fucking suck. I hate you. which is ridiculous. And I, okay, look, I think Star Wars is the case study, isn't it? The main thing that is so pure, so wholesome, so special to so many people that is for some reason one of the most, like, as we say, like, toxic, sort of combative, like, there's just a rivalry between people who liked a film and didn't like a film. Yeah. And it's so bizarre because Star Wars is about love and how we can all do anything we want.
Yeah.
And soaring
by helping people.
Yeah,
it's being peculiar. A bloody hero.
So why Star Wars? I mean, Star Wars is probably the most culturally significant, like, property in a while. I mean, it's just, like, the imagery in Star Wars is as set in stone as anything, as language itself. Like, it's like, the iconography is almost, like, mythical.
I like to think whenever we drop the nukes on ourselves and aliens kind of, like, go around our shit and go, what happened here then? They find Star Wars. I mean, they'll have a proper laugh. They'll be like, really? This is what they thought Star, like, Space
this
Wars.
This is what they were fighting about.
This is what they thought a Star War looks like.
Yeah.
Don't think so.
Yeah. So I guess, is it just because Star Wars is the biggest thing? That's why it means so much to so many people that, like, of course, that'll be the property. But there are things like Star Wars that are as popular, that have fandoms that, to me, aren't as angry. I mean, I guess Star Wars because it's just more relevant now. But I don't know. I don't know. Why now?
Why does the Star Wars fandom kind of attract this sort of hatred and this toxicity? Is that how you say it in
toxicity.
English? Toxicity.
It's okay. You say it how you want to say it.
Say it like a Harry Potter spell.
It was going too well. I was doing English. Yeah, but it's interesting because the Harry Potter fandom doesn't really have this sort of thing.
I mean, is it to do with the fact that, like, Star Wars has been a thing since the late 70s? So a lot of the people who grew up with it, the whole thing that they're upset about is this kind of, I'd say, immature and somewhat selfish desire to recapture their childhood. And it's the thing, Dean said something quite interesting a minute ago when we weren't recording. You said that a lot of these people's relationship with Star Wars and the films is like when you love someone for the idea of them, but you don't love, like, them for who they actually are.
I hate to be the woman that says this, but I think it might be the thing that Star Wars came out in the height of, you know, and maybe even Star Trek, because it tends to attract the same kind of thing. It was at the height of where nerd culture was just men.
Yeah,
that's
and
so
Harry Potter came out around the time where women were accepting of, you know, their inner nerd a little bit more. And Comic-Cons, first, they started out, cosplayers started out with Star Trek. Those were the first cosplayers. It didn't start in Japan, started with Star Trek nerds. But yeah, I think maybe it's because they feel like, especially with the new movies, their little safe space and their little, you know, their little club has been infiltrated by other people. And Harry Potter never went through that.
That's
really
so interesting. Yeah, that's a really good observation.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Harry Potter is predominantly from what you can see from the outside.
It's the work of a woman. It's like this, J.K. Rowling singularly created this world. And
people were kids when it came out, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they grew up with it, and they lived in the world rather than they were introduced to this epic thing that was an escapism kind of, you know, space crazy people slashing each other with, you know.
Space crazy people slashing each other.
I'd always thought, well, this is the thing.
Sorry. I don't know.
It's
a lot
perfect.
About
that's
Star
pretty
Wars.
Much it.
I'd always thought about that. I always figured they were going to remake Harry Potter. I figured before I was 30 they were going to start remaking Harry Potter.
Wow.
But also when I thought about it, I went, sure, I'm not going to be up for it because I'll be like, I already did them.
They did a good job. Like, we can move on.
Yeah, but also at the same time, even if they did, once again, I'm not going to contact the people who made it and harass them for it.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't change it. And also if they make more movies and more Harry Potter stories, I'm going to be there.
I think your point about just the space that, like, when Star Wars and stuff came out, that time and the place that kind of occupied in history is interesting because, like, I feel like since 1977 and the 80s, the world has changed so much, like, so much. And I think maybe for a lot of those people who grew up with it, to be getting Star Wars films in a time that, to them, for so many reasons, like, doesn't even resemble that magical time in their life, they're maybe sort of, they're projecting that kind of, I don't know, that lusting for the past specifically onto Star Wars. Because it's if Star Wars can't recapture that and make you feel safe and, like you said, be back in that safe space, then what can?
Yeah, then what can? Is there anything left for you anymore?
Yeah, and that's so sad. Like,
I mean, that's the closest I'm ever going to get to sympathising with a goatee, honestly. But,
like, I mean, honestly, just from the point of, you know, the characters itself reflecting the fan base, Star Wars gathered a lot of new fans, including women, including people of colour. Mm. Star Wars used to be basically just white men fighting each other.
Yeah, sure.
And it's funny because
I always forgot that Lando was in it.
No, but if you look at,
it wasn't prominent.
If you look at the new movie, it's not even half of the characters that are female. But it feels like, even to me looking at it, I'm like, there's a lot of women in this movie.
You said
just
this when
by comparison,
But it's 40% or something.
It's 47% women in that movie,
which is crazy. It's why aren't there women in space?
Yeah, I know. Why does it feel weird?
Yeah.
It shouldn't feel weird, yeah.
By the way, there is a tweet that from somebody who went through the movies and figured out the percentages of women to men. I didn't just pull out 47% out of my answer.
Yeah, it's actually...
do you want to tell us something,
Thank
Dean?
Thank you, person, for nice beard. Calculating this.
Thank you. I grew it myself on purpose.
but yeah, no, you saw... What was it? You saw a tweet and that was... Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a tweet, and The Last Jedi holds the highest percentage of women in a movie at 47%. So it's not even half, like you said.
Yes.
And it already feels noticeable.
And that's fine.
Even to people who are okay with women in space, like, I love it. I'm all for it. I mean...
Wait there, you're going to go on record and say you love women in space.
I love women in space.
Wow, that's the juiciest bit of gossip we've got the whole time.
I love women in space.
I just think it's nice. It ties into what I do.
Yeah.
I just think it's nice.
Oh man, you do a great General Leia.
I haven't drawn any Star Wars fan art.
Oh,
I only recently saw the movies, and I'm happy I wasn't ruined.
And that's actually something interesting.
Oh, you just threw a segue across the room.
Yeah. Whoa! Watch out.
That's nice.
Yeah. You've only recently, Dean. You introduced Laura to the Star Wars movies. You've never seen them.
Oh my God, you ruined my life. I'm so happy that I'm up to date before the last movie comes out, though. I can be a fan.
You can be a part of it.
Finally.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to be hated on Twitter so much. They're going to go like, this woman speaking about Star Wars.
You're a great sounding board because you don't have that nostalgia. You don't have that desire to recapture that time, that place. You just saw them as you just saw some films.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
I loved The Last Jedi.
What?
Crazy, right?
Can we add a little sound clip of an applause from an audience?
Say it ain't so. Golly. Yeah, interesting.
No, yeah, no, I really appreciated that Dean wasn't gonna, you know, he wasn't trying to show his love and appreciation for that specific movie too much because he didn't want to ruin it. And I'm very nice. Thank you. Thank you for not ruining the movies. But yeah, I watched it. I liked it a lot just from, you know, perspective of it's a nice movie.
Yeah. And actually, a thing I just want to say is we're not trying to invalidate anyone who doesn't like The Last Jedi.
Also, not invalidating the rest of the movies because I love those as well. But The Last Jedi is just growing up right now and seeing all those films. I went back to the old movies and, you know, they've aged badly in some ways. And I watched the prequels and I enjoyed them. I thought they were funny. But, I mean,
when we watched the prequels, it was quite funny.
What do you mean?
I enjoyed watching them, but not
It's about the rise and fall of the Darth Vader. It's
horrifying. Melting men in lava.
Yeah, lovely, sexy.
But I think what you were just saying, about it, like, we're not trying. Listen, if you watched The Last Jedi and went, that was a fucking stupid movie. I don't like that. I'm never going to see it again. That's absolutely fair. We probably won't get on at parties, but like overall, totally fine. It's not.
Yeah, it's more what we're talking about specifically is there is definitely a community of people who I feel their sense of how much they dislike the movie comes from a weird place.
Yes.
And they project that kind of weird insecurity onto people like. If you didn't like a movie, fine. If you didn't like a movie to the point where it drives you to abuse people and drive them off the internet, That's not okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm about to say something that's like bloody obvious to people, but obviously there's no excuse for this behavior, you know, racism, sexism, verbal abuse, like toxicity from any corner of any sort of anything is inappropriate. We shouldn't be doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, I love Star Wars. Can we stop ruining it? Can we stop ruining it for people? They are silly space movies. And I don't mean to say silly in a reductive way. They are just visually fucking bonkers. Yeah. It's so great when you look at what's in front of you. You're like, how does this exist? Like, what? There's a six-year-old Mark Hamill stood on a planet made of salt called Crait in front of an iron door with his lightsaber, and his nephew is trying to kill him.
Yes, like, it's just most soap opera-ass shit.
Robot gorillas all stood there. They won't attack him because they're terrified. I'm sat there again. This is the silliest, most glorious adventure I've ever
been. The moment you try to dissect that shit in the most like high art way, you're embarrassing yourself. It's silly.
The only internal things you should take from those movies are the heroism.
Yeah.
It sounds silly and goofy, but the friendship and the lengths these people go to protect the things they love. That's what you should be going at. And that's what you should be.
That
taking
should be
in.
The biggest takeaway. Yeah. That should literally. You should walk out of the cinema and go, I want to save people. I want to be a good person. Instead of, God, that was fucking shit.
Yeah. Damn a computer! Where are they? Ryan, I'm going to get you! Yeah. And he stood there going, oh, I just got a check for a bazillion pounds. He's like, sorry.
Lol.
But yeah, and I will also say, not to be all sort of soppy and silly about it, but I saw The Last Jedi twice in cinemas. I saw Force Awakens 7, but that was because I was soft and I was vulnerable.
It was a magical time.
Yeah, I was vulnerable to the Star Wars nostalgia. So I saw it 7 bloody times.
We all were.
It was great.
Yeah.
But I saw The Last Jedi twice. Mm-hmm. And on my second time, I went to, first time I saw it at the premiere. I saw it at the premiere.
Ooh!
And then second time I saw it at a Normo cinema with all the normal people in it. And in the lobby, they were playing Star Wars music. And right next to me were three boys. One of them was like, I'm Luke Skywalker. I am Rey. Big shout out to him, by the way. Brave. And also, great. 10 out of 10. And also one of them was like, I'm Kylo Ren. And they just sat there being like Jedis and stuff. And whilst this music's all blaring in the lobby, I'm sat there going, This is what it's for, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is what I was doing. And then we saw the movie, and I was thinking in my head, I was like, I wonder what those kids are going to be, you know, thinking after this. And then I walk out, guess what they're doing? They're still Luke Skywalker, they're still Rey, and they're still Kylo Ren. They didn't walk out of it going, right, Mom, where's Ryan Johnson's email address? I want to tell him how much I hate him. They were sat there, it was still Star Wars to them.
Absolutely.
And that happened. It's 100% true. And I sat there and went, that's bloody gorgeous. And that's what I held on to the whole time. I was like, Last Jedi's fine. Don't worry about it.
No, totally. And circling it back, actually, to what one of the first thing we spoke about, when in space, one of the times they addressed the Star Wars prequels, they actually did it in quite an interesting way where there's a whole monologue Simon Pegg does into the camera screaming, saying, what the hell is wrong with you? You weren't there. You weren't there when we had the original films. It was incredible. Now you have this stupid bunny rabbit jumping around. It's just for kids. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. And then it cuts to the reverse shot. He's talking to a child who looks terrified. And like, it's like if you got one of these people who harasses people online and is just so, so determined to prove to everyone that The Last Jedi is crap, would you want to introduce that person to a child and say, go on, tell him, like, tell this child that it's bad?
That sounds like an incredible video, though, to be fair.
Oh, my God, it does a bit.
Yeah.
Because would they do it or would they...
No, like... you'd have to trick them into doing it.
Yeah, yeah. You remove a curtain or something. You remove some kind of... It's a mirror. It's a two-way mirror.
Oh!
Look yourself in the mirror and talk about how bad the film is. And then they remove it to a child. Yes, please. Oh, my God, we're doing it. We're doing it. Laura, what is your just overall takeaway from everything we've spoken about, from someone who has experienced crumbs of it and then has just been, you know, witnessing it on a huge scale with Star Wars and just stuff in general? What's your takeaway?
Delete your Twitter. No, but
yeah,
I mean, taking a little bit away from everybody that's leaving social media, I think that putting down your phone, closing your laptop and just enjoying the content and not listening to the people shitting on it is a good way to protect your own like enjoyment of things. And I just want to be a nerd. That's all. I just want to play Minecraft and not care about what Notch is posting on Twitter.
That's the thing. Yeah. Fucking Notch. Oh my God. That's brilliant. And like, I just, the last thing, I think Dean is actually a good example of someone who loves stuff and is a fan of things and does and does it right. Because Dean wears his, the things he loves, whether it be Star Wars or Mario, very much on his sleeve. But like, I think you would embrace a Mario game where Mario's like, where it got a beard and is like milking. Because it's the thing you love, and you love to see it evolve and you love to see it expand. And like, you manage your expectations, and if you didn't like it, you'd be honest about it, but you wouldn't ruin people's days.
No, of course I wouldn't.
It's great to love things, and it's great to be to feel like you're a part of something and be part of a community. But when you're all rallying together to prove other people wrong, what fucking, like...
What existence is that?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I know what you're doing. You're sat at home on your computer harassing women on the internet.
Stop it.
Saddos. Put yourself in the bin.
It's just a reflection of their sadness, honestly.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe. It's not because they enjoy the content. It's just they're taking it out on something that is a big part of their lives.
It's the insecurity thing. Mm. Yeah, it's...
Don't worry. Don't worry, Star Wars fans. There's so much Star Wars. I mean, if you stop declaring the end of the thing you love, you're going to get more Star Wars. And I'm sorry if you watch a Star Wars movie and go... You know what? That Star Wars movie was made for little girls to feel good about themselves. What in the world is bad about that? This is the 8th and for now final episode of Fantastic Adventures with Dean and Bertie. It's been a ride. Thank you for coming with us on these many little journeys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you hopefully very, very soon.
Dean and I will be taking a break. You know,
snooze.
It's got nothing to do with you. It's between us. Doesn't mean we love you any less.
No, we almost killed our nephew, and now we're really sad about it. So we're sailing off to an island in the middle of Dubai.
We're gonna go become recluses. What's the plural? What's the reclusi?
Reclusi.
Yeah, we're gonna go become reclusi. But we might be back in a bit.
Yeah.
So thank you, Laura, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm the example of posting enough about something on Twitter and actually becoming a part of it. So. Thanks.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Please continue to like and subscribe to our gorgeous, lovely podcast. Tell your friends about us. Tell your parents about us. Who knows? Maybe your dad watched The Last Jedi and hated it. And maybe...
Let's get him on.
Get him on. Like, get him on it. Maybe he wants to hear what we've got to say. You know, a listen's a listen. And a like's a like. And a review's a review. See you in a bit. May the force be with you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.